If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
I always like it when the Bills face the Jets in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, because that means we get to talk to our buddy Dan Leverfeld of Jets Confidential, who is one of the best, if not the best. Dan, how are you?
Pretty good, but, you know, I don't know if I want to go to the sports bar today. I'd rather get my beer at AJ's.
Yeah. We could always count on you picking up on whatever it is we're throwing out there while you're on hold, and we appreciate that, Dan. What was the name of the pizza place? Cha-Cha's. Yeah.
How are they doing?
We still have to get together and have some Cha-Cha's.
Okay, and we'll go over to AJ's also, pick up some brews.
I wouldn't be angry at any of that. Dan, how have things been going for the Jets this year, and where? I know that this is something that we wanted to start off with you. Todd Bowles, it appears, based on what you're seeing out there, that Todd Bowles is certainly on the hot seat. What say you?
Well, first of all, I want to be able to discern how a coach ends up on the hot seat. What
yes.
is the science behind that? Because I talk to the owner a lot. You don't get the sense at all from him as far as him going in that direction. And he called Bowles quite extraordinary last offseason and gave him a two-year contract extension. Now, I'm not sitting here saying Bowles is safe. I just want to, maybe you guys can help out, try to figure out how it's determined by some people in the media that certain coaches are on the hot seat.
It's interesting because I think sometimes an owner will say that a coach is safe and they'll even give them that extension. And, you know, Jerry Jones being the one example of somebody who'll say one thing 1 minute and then do the complete opposite the next. So I guess from the public standpoint, how do you trust an owner who says, yeah, that coach is safe?
Well, I'm talking about an owner last offseason who extended not by one, but by 2 years. You know, so often in the NFL, coaches are concerned about entering that lame duck year where they have 1 year left on their contract. So often teams will add a year just to get that lame duck story out of the papers. He was given 2 years. So entering this season, he had 3 years left on his contract. As I mentioned before, I mean, these are powerful words. The owner, Christopher Johnson, called Todd quite extraordinary. So based on that, based on him getting a two-year extension, not one, and the owner saying he's quite extraordinary, would you consider him a coach on the hot seat?
No. I mean, to answer your question, Dan, what determines the hot seat? I think it's expectation. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, take Buffalo, for example. They are on pace to have a historically bad offense. Certainly by far the worst offense in the league, but because they built in this expectation that there was going to be this giant step back, then nobody can really question this process. I guess, with that being said, what was the expectation for the Jets to begin with this year? You had a decent defense, and you also had, on top of that, a young quarterback. Did we lose Dan? We lost Dan. Okay, so Dan will get back on. Dan Leverfeld, Jets Confidential, our guest here in the sports bar, as apparently the Wi-Fi in New Jersey isn't so great. 454-ESPN is our telephone number. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to our good friend, Bob Harris, football diehard. So fantasy football players, you want to stick around next hour, get a little advantage on who might be on the waiver wire, what are some good streaming options. Bob Harris from Football Diehards, our guest coming up in the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN Rochester. We'll also talk to Wayne Wilson, RIT head coach, as believe it or not, the Tigers will play their first game of the Polisseni coming up this Friday night. Yeah, it only took till mid-November for the Tigers to get home this season. American International Friday and Saturday night, so Saturday night, that's a fun activity with the Amherst being off on the rare Saturday night. We'll talk to Don Stevens tomorrow as well. Don and the Rochester Americans taking on the Cleveland Monsters. Did we get Dan back?
No, we didn't get him back. Let's do this. Let's regroup here. Let's take a little bit of a break, come back, see if we can get Dan back on the line with us. We'll also play I'll Drink to That in the sports bar here and give you some provocative thoughts to wrap your mind around from around the world of sports here in just a few minutes. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest
rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the Sports Leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, we're back in the Sports Bar with Danger Battaglia. Let's go ahead and continue our conversation with Dan Lebberfeld. Gene, you were mentioning to Dan that you believe the narrative exists when a coach gets on the hot seat based on expectations that have been laid out.
Yeah, so take, for example, Buffalo. Why isn't Sean McDermott on the hot seat? Because the Bills projected this PR image of the process. You heard process over and over again, Dan, and you heard about how the Bills are, you know, going to take the step back with the young quarterback, and here they are on pace for a record performance, worst in the NFL, now could end up being one of the worst of all time. I guess my question is, what is the expectation of the Jets for Todd Bowles this year, having a solid defense, but having that rookie quarterback? Are the Jets at 3-6 meeting expectation?
Well, as I was saying before, my cell phone went south on us, and my cell phone should be on the hot seat. When you look at the Jets starting a rookie quarterback, 21 years old, redshirt sophomore. That's when he came out after that season, had 13 interceptions in that redshirt sophomore year. So what kind of expectations should you have for a team that starts a raw rookie, has a lot of talent and a lot of potential, but look at how young he is. Look when he came out of college. You know, you look at guys like Andrew Luck and some other prospects who stayed in college 4 years, some of the best, you know, Russell Wilson, you look at some of the players that came out of college and did really well as rookies, so often they were four-year college guys. So what kind of expectations should you have for a team starting a 21-year-old rookie coming out after his redshirt sophomore year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you keep your expectations in check and hope that you see progress in his development from year one to year two. So I guess, you know, Todd Bowles could find himself in a similar situation to Sean McDermott in that, you know, their success, their longevity, their tenure is going to be based on the progress of these quarterbacks that they decided to take a chance on.
Well, you talk to the fans and some reporters, and they feel that Todd Bowles should be on the hot seat, not necessarily for the rookie quarterback, but for some other things going on around the rookie quarterback. For instance, last week, and you guys saw this, the center, Spencer Long, had major issues snapping the ball. He has some kind of injury on his middle finger, on his snapping hand, and he sat out 1 week, and then they put him back in there, and the snapping issues from a couple weeks earlier reared their ugly head again. And what I didn't get was, if a guy has a messed up finger, right, is 1 week going to heal that finger? I don't know. Hey, I'm not a doctor, but to me it seemed like it didn't seem like enough time that was it was really going to make a difference with that finger injury. And I asked Spencer Long the Friday before the Jets-Dolphins game, you know, how are you doing? How's the finger? He goes, you know, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can. So those kind of things, and then the Jet fans and some reporters were baffled as to why the coach stayed so long with Spencer Long when it was clear for the first three quarters that the snapping issue was throwing off the timing of the Jets offense. So it's not necessarily the rookie quarterback struggles that Bowles gets blamed for. It's other things going around that case.
How has Jeremy Bates been with Sam Darnold this year?
He's been okay, but you know, he's under a lot of pressure. So often with these rookie quarterbacks, they're fixated on their first read. So the games when the Jets had success on offense, it seemed like Jeremy Bates dialed up a ton of ideal first reads, like the Denver game or the Indianapolis game, where, you know, that first read was open and it often went for a big play. Since those games, it almost seems like opposing defensive coordinators now have a full book on what Bates and Darnold are doing, because the last three games, the offense has stalled, and those first reads often aren't open.
Dan Leverfeld, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Dan, the editor of Jets Confidential. We'll tell you how you can subscribe to that here in the Sports Bar. I like the fact that Jets brought back Josh McCown and the fact that Josh McCown was willing to come back. And we look at what Buffalo has done conversely and how really they didn't have that veteran mentor until, well, Anderson came in, but too little too late in my opinion, Dan. I guess my opinion, how has McCown helped Darnold in his development?
Well, as far as Buffalo, they made a big mistake trading A.J. McCarron. I'm not putting A.J. McCarron in Canton, and I know he wasn't happy, but who cares if he's not happy? You keep him around, and you have an insurance policy, and he would have been a better insurance policy behind Allen than any of the other guys that they're putting out there. So I think the Bills made a big mistake there, and when you look at what the ideal situation is with a mentor, look, the Bills now have Derek Anderson, who's supposed to help Josh Allen, and the Jets have McCown. There's only so much a mentor can do. They can't go out there on game day and be the eyes and ears of the quarterback. They can't help the young quarterback read defenses and go through his progressive scans. They can't help the young quarterback with his pocket presence. So, yeah, the mentor in a guy like McCown, or to a lesser degree Anderson, they can help in certain ways, in the meeting room, teach the guy how to get in and out of the huddle, teach the guy how to study, things like that. But once the lights are shining brightly on game day, to me, the mentor thing can only do very, very little. So if McCown's helping him, but you look at the last three games, McCown can't help him out there when he's telegraphing his first read.
Sure. I'll always go back to week one, though, Dan, and we're speaking with Dan Leberfeld of Jets Confidential here in the Sports Bar. Week one, and he throws a pick six on his first pass, and the first guy that he's talking to on the sideline is McCown, and you start to see these guys developing a relationship, and I got to imagine that, if anything, for a young quarterback like Darnold, that gives him a little bit of confidence to know that, hey, I'm going to make these mistakes, but this guy has made plenty of mistakes through his career, and he's kind of helping navigate him through these rocky waters.
That's a good point, but you look at the last game against Miami, against a defense that was awful the previous three games.
Yeah.
When you look at the Miami Dolphins, and then all the stories in Miami after the Jet game was, the defense is back. I don't know about that. Let's see how they do against Green Bay this week. But the point is, the last game against Miami, there was a play where Darnold threw into quadruple coverage, and there was no pressure on the play. I'm telling you, there were four defenders there. There was no pressure on the play, and then there was a Kiko Alonso pick. Quadruple coverage. So I don't know what Josh McCown can do about that.
Dan Leverfeld, Jets Confidential. Bills and Jets, 1 o'clock this Sunday. Jets a 7.5-point favorite. Is that a good line here, Dan? I'm asking this seriously because, yes, the Bills are struggling right now, but the Bills have a good defense, and I'm not convinced the Jets can put up a lot of offense in this game. So what do you think of that line, Jets as a 7.5-point favorite?
Well, I'm the last guy that should talk about lines, because on my show with Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News that I do every Saturday on Sirius XM NFL Radio, I picked the Bills last week. And I think, how they suspend players for a couple series? I think Vic and the producers should suspend me for the first half hour of the show. An awful pick. But let me explain why I made the pick, and obviously it was foolish. I was thinking that, the Bills would hang around this game based on that defense that I saw against Tom Brady and the Patriots. I figured I had seen Mitch Trubisky against the Jets. He did not impress me. I'm thinking, you know what? The Bills can hang around and maybe win a 9-6 game. But that defense, I mean, how do you explain the way that defense played against Chicago before I, go back to the point spread?
Well, you give up two defensive touchdowns in the second quarter, and then voila, it's 28-0.
That's true, yeah.
So Chicago, Danger, you're a Bears fan. I mean, that was as pedestrian an offense in a lopsided victory as I've ever seen.
And look, I mean, I think any team that's going up against the Buffalo Bills, and I think the same holds true for the Jets this weekend. Really, offensively, don't make mistakes. Just don't make the turnover mistakes. And if you can limit your turnovers, then you're going to have a chance to win that game. You know, you can win an ugly game against the Buffalo Bills. And certainly that Monday night game that you were talking about, Dan, wasn't, you know, just an offensive juggernaut by the Patriots. The Bills' defense held their own. The Patriots didn't make any mistakes. And eventually, you know that an offensive mistake is going to happen for the Bills, that if you can capitalize on it, that will be the difference in the game.
Yeah, and that's why I picked the Bills. It was a terrible pick. It was based on how impressed I was with the defense and how unimpressed I was with the Bears' offense, and I was obviously wrong, so I hesitate this week to pick the Bills. First of all, I don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. What do you guys sense?
Oh, it sounds like Peterman again, because Anderson hasn't been cleared yet. Even if he is on the practice field tomorrow, Dan, you know how that works. It will take a couple of days. I don't know if they would trust Anderson with just getting limited reps.
And does it really matter, Dan? I mean, really? I mean, you're asking who's going to be the starting. Does it really matter? If Josh Allen was healthy, would it even matter?
Let me ask you this question. I know this is not a popular topic in the Western New York area. Aside from the pick six, you can't say aside from the pick six. That's ridiculous. It happened. But just take the pick six out of that game against Chicago. How did Peterman look sans the pick six?
Oh, he did checkdowns, Dan. 180 yards passing on 31 completions that had never been done in the NFL. 31 completions, 180 yards.
All you need to know about where Nathan Peterman's game is at right now, he had not one but two chances to execute a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, and he ran the ball. He didn't even throw the ball. I mean, it's in his own head now. He's got this fear of turning the ball over so much so that he won't even throw anything but the check down. So, you know, if it was Peterman, if it's Derek Anderson, if it was Josh Allen, I don't really know that one quarterback gives you that much better. I suppose Allen, if he's healthy, maybe gives you a better chance to win because he has that arm talent. But aside from that, Matt Barkley comes into the game. Is anybody terrified of that guy? No.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you expect the Bills' defense to bounce back this week and play closer? I understand there were two defensive touchdowns as far as the Chicago Bears. Do you expect the Buffalo defense to play like they did against New England in the Jets game?
I think that's fair.
The only anomaly, I think, of the Bills' defense that kind of stumped everybody was that Indy game. I mean, against Indianapolis, Andrew Luck just kind of had his way with the Bills' defense. But aside from that, I mean, ever since the beginning, you know, the second half of the Week 2 game, basically when Vontae Davis quit, this defense got angry, and they were playing at a high level up until that Indianapolis game. Now, they showed up again against the Patriots, and you know, you take away the two turnovers that the offense created on Sunday, the Bills' defense statistically held the Bears' offense in check, and the Bears were fortunate to have a couple of short fields, and they were capitalizing on turnovers.
Well, so this game looks like it has 9-6 written all over. Here's the thing, and this is a very controversial statement because Nathan Peterman is so unpopular in Western New York. Who do you give the quarterback edge to, Nathan Peterman or Sam Darnold, who's learning on the job and threw four picks last week against the Miami defense
Darnold.
That is not good?
Darnold.
No question, Darnold. I mean, and Peterman, by the way, Dan, I think you'd be surprised. He has gone from – he's a sympathetic figure now. When he threw the pick six and Danger and I were both there at that game, it was more of a sigh and a chuckle from the crowd, like, oh, here we go again. I mean, you do the show with Carucci. How does an NFL team management think it's that's a good idea to have him not only as a backup, but your week one starter? I question everything about this Bills regime and their ability to judge talent, Dan, if they're putting Nate Peterman out there. And I think a lot of other people, that's where the blame has gone to. Nobody's upset at Peterman anymore. People are actually questioning McDermott and Bean, thinking, can these guys really evaluate talent if they're putting Nate Peterman? Not only
Kelvin
putting
Benjamin's
there,
another example of their inability to evaluate. I mean, if you're so intimately involved in the scouting of Kelvin Benjamin from back in your days at Carolina, why would you think bringing him into Buffalo is a great idea when he's done nothing since being signed at the deadline last year?
And then Zay Jones said he had trouble learning the playbook. Now, wouldn't, if you were with him in Carolina, as those two guys were, wouldn't they know about his ability to pick things up fast or not?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like I said, they should have kept McCarron. I know I heard he wanted out, but who cares if they want out?
Yeah, I think about that situation, Dan, and I think, you know what, they... You know, you could say that their whole plan for this season went out the window when they benched Nathan Peterman after the first half of that week one loss at Baltimore. But I would argue that they probably lost the season by making the preseason quarterback competition a thing, because Nathan Peterman, all of our eyes saw it. Nathan Peterman was the best. I don't want to say he won the competition. He was the lesser of three evils, and that includes AJ McCarron, who did not look good in the preseason.
Well, you know, but you, in the preseason, you're talking about a guy who's new to the team, and Peterman actually had, I know they changed the offense, but he was with the team last year. So, you know, people are so quick to judge in this league, whether it's looking bad in the summer, over the first month of the season, people are like, okay, this guy's a bum. You know, he's a new guy to the team. He's trying to learn things. The summer might look ugly, and then he picks things up in September, and boom, looks a lot better. So I think we're in an era now in social media where we probably judge people too quickly. But this game is a really hard game to call because, once again, I know Peterman has not been good, but Sam Darnold's basically in a three-game slump. So, you know, like I said, I could see 9-6 either way in this game.
Dan, how about from the philosophical standpoint? Dan Lieberfeld, our guest, and this has been a topic that we've kicked around here, that is Sean McDermott in this day and age a good head coach with a defensive background? Look at all the successful teams in the NFL now, from the Saints to the Rams to the Chiefs, obviously the Patriots. They all have great offenses, and they all have head coaches with that offensive background. Is it the right decision ultimately? How much more difficult is it to have a head coach with a defensive background as compared to some of these other teams?
Well, I think that angle gets blown out of proportion. I mean, look at the Carolina Panthers. They have a defensive-minded head coach. He went out and got Norv Turner to run his offense.
Atlanta.
I really don't care which way the head coach leans, as long as he hires good coordinators. Like, you know, when people talk about Todd Bowles job security, and one thing I do not do is I don't fire people on the radio or in print. I'm just talking in general terms that when people talk about job security, like Steve Serby wrote today, you know, when Bowles is fired, they should look for an offensive-minded coach. No, what the Jets would need is an alpha dog leader. Not forget about which way he leans as far as his background. To me, that's what you need. You need a great leader, and let him hire two coordinators. My biggest problem with Sean McDermott is this. He should not have final say on player personnel. What was it about his background that got him that kind of power? And he's made a lot of bad decisions. If I'm not mistaken, he does have final say, correct?
Yeah, they pretty
over
much
the
let everything.
Yeah,
yeah, they let him control the final 53.
Yeah, so where are we talking about a Bill Belichick-type hire? Sean McDermott gets full say? This is a guy who should be the head coach and should have a GM like a Bill Polian. I'm not saying now, but I'm talking about Bill Polian in his heyday, who runs the personnel thing, and Sean just coaches a team. Sean should not be wearing two hats.
Well, if you have anything with the Bills organization right now, at least it appears you have alignment in that you don't have a head coach who's at odds with the GM, at least as far as we can tell, that both of these guys are on the same page in terms of what their long-term vision and long-term plan is for. But, you know, we don't know if that long-term plan is going to get them to the playoffs or get them consistently to 8-8 every season when it's all said and done.
Well, didn't they made a trade with Cleveland for Corey Coleman, and then they had to pay him? He was there a couple weeks. Didn't they owe him like $3 million or something like that?
Yeah, they ended up, they do have to pay. I think they did have to pay part of his salary because
That made zero sense to me because, hey, I don't have a problem with kicking the tires on Corey Coleman, but you shouldn't pay him a dime. It should be, if it works out, we pay him. If I'm the Pegulas, I'm like, what's up with that? We owe this guy $3 million?
You wouldn't, if you had good intel, you knew he was, you would have known he was going to be on the streets, right? Is that what you're saying? That we just wait a week or two and take it?
Yeah, wait a week or two, but under, you know, it's like Belichick is always bringing in guys that have had problems in the past, but there's very little financial strings attached. I could not believe that Corey Coleman move. I don't have a problem with trying him out, but it should be with no financial implications.
Dan Lieberfeld, Jets Confidential, as we look forward to Sunday's game in New York in the Meadowlands against the Jets. Dan, let everybody know where they can read your work, follow you on social media, and all that good stuff.
And I like to remind people whenever I'm on this show is that we're a Rochester-based company.
That's right. Yes.
For a long time, we used to be in the town where AJ's is, Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went to AJ's then. I feel bad. Were they around when we were there, Gene?
No, they were not, Dan. So next all time right, you're... So. Well, if you're coming through, to Buffalo in December... And stop by the sports bar. We'll take you over to AJ's and Cha-Cha's and wherever else you want to go here on your Rochester. We'll take you for a plate this time, Dan.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are there any restaurant sponsors that I can mix in here?
Yeah, we can go to Alex's place. Wonderful Ribs in Batavia, yeah. We'll take you.
Can get you right in between here and Buffalo. Yeah. We can, of course, wash it all down with a delicious Yingling Golden Pilsner. Who else can we spiff
with? That's the plan. We'll go to Alex's. And Jets Confidential, longtime Rochester company, and now we're in Victor. And if people want to subscribe to the monthly Jets Confidential magazine, they can call 1-800-932-4557. Gene, you remember that number, right?
Yeah, I do. 1-800-932-4557. Jets Confidential, Dan Leberfeld. I want to say, what year did you start this? 94, Dan? Am I right?
Yeah, that's about. I actually think it was 95. Rich Kotite was the coach, and people said, "What are you, crazy?" But we're still around. We're still standing, as Elton John would say.
I love it, Dan. Really appreciate your time, as always. It's great hearing your voice. Look forward to talking to you again later this season when the Jets come to Buffalo.
Yeah, and we'll meet up at Alex's.
You got it.
Thanks.
And if AJ's Beer Warehouse isn't your thing, we'll go get some liquor at Market View Liquor if you want a nice nice bottle of wine as well. We'll get all of our sponsors.
Yeah, let's get them all in.
We'll get them all in.
I get my tire. Any tire alignment places I can go to that you're
yeah. You're the best, Dan. Thanks for your time.
All right, have a good one.
The best. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential, in the sports bar with Dejer Battaglia.
If you're a good guy, if you can bust chops... That's the hallmark of being a good guy. If you can bust somebody's chops. And every time Dan comes on, we're busting chops.
Look, it's fun to have a conversation with a guy who doesn't take it too seriously, right? You know he takes it seriously, but you know that you can bust his chops and you know that you can have a real conversation, that there's no preconceived notions. I love having conversations like that with guys that cover these teams that are very saying, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Where is this narrative coming from that Todd Bowles is on the hot seat? What leads somebody to believe that he should be on the hot seat? What data exists aside from his wins and losses that tells you, as somebody in the media, that guy is on the hot seat?
I would say that in New York, it's a little different. I think that's a special exception where you have four daily newspapers all competing, and you have to dig for storylines. Sometimes they're not there, and these stories get manufactured. When he's talking about Steve Serby writing a column today about a new offensive-minded head coach of the Jets, all right, well... Can we just wait until this season plays out here? And, honestly, we're a little bit guilty of it, too. I think Dan's perspective on Sean McDermott's interesting. How he knew Danger. He asked us the question, how does Sean McDermott have control of the 53? I think he's right. I think McDermott, if Brandon Bean and Terry Pegula are smart, you take that away from him. You don't worry about that.
And you give it to who? Brandon Bean? The guy who made the trade for Kelvin Benjamin? I don't know.
Or did Sean McDermott say, go get me some Kelvin Benjamin? How did that all happen?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's the thing. When you have a group decision, who's really accountable here?
All right. I'll drink to that is on the way next. We'll give you provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. We'll get that out of the way, and then we'll talk some fantasy football with the great Bob Harris of footballdiehards.com. That's all still to come in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's home for Amherst hockey is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League. ESPN Rochester. Hear every bone-crushing hit, every spectacular save, every screaming slap shot and game-winning goal right here. Rochester Americans Hockey.
And the Amherst quickly have taken the lead.
Exclusively on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.